is a celery die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet,
what are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die.
Diehards, I'd like you to welcome the great Michael Altshuler.
So I'm in my office. It's 7:30 at night. And you know how you have those after 6 o'clock conversations with associates?
Of course.
My general manager, David Greenspun, walks in. He sits down on the couch in my office. I come over. We just kind of have an after work conversation about life and what's going on. And we talked about what my dreams were as a kid. My dream was really to play professional sports. And I wasn't big enough, strong enough, fast enough, agile enough. Other than that, I was perfect.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say,
so you were
like,
always chosen first for the
sounds like
sports.
You had all the attributes.
I was always chosen first for the bench.
Yeah.
But you could go to ball games and watch the Phillies lose.
I did play football. I played guard, tackle, and end. I guarded the water bucket, and I sat at the end of the bench and tackled anyone that got near it. So that was kind of my role in football. But anyway, as I shared with my associate, David, what my dream was to play professional sports, around 2 months later, he brings in a video cassette. They didn't have DVDs back then. A video cassette of the show that just launched, American Gladiators. And since I was in the copier business in the service department, we had the all-in-one TV with video cassette recorder. We went back. He said, "You got to see this show, Mike. You'd be perfect for it." And he plugs the video cassette in, and I watch these 320-pound muscle-clad gladiators kicking the butts of these unsuspecting contestants. And he looks at me, he says, "Michael, that could be you." Thinking, what the heck is he so excited about? I thought maybe he didn't like his raise or he wanted to take over the presidency of the company. Anyway, I gave him every excuse in the world, and it was a great life lesson. Every excuse in the world why I didn't want to do it, because fear had crept in. And I knew it was a dream, a respun dream, but a dream nonetheless, to live out my fantasy of playing at a high level in something competitive in sports on TV in front of 6 million viewers. And I remember feeling exhilaration and fear at the same time, and fear won out, as it oftentimes does. And I told him every excuse in the world. There was tryouts 4 places in the country. I told him why I couldn't go. He bought it. The next year, he comes in with season 2, and he says, "Mike, you got to check out season 2. And they have tryouts in New York at, get this, the Coliseum. And it said on the marquee, free tryouts to be on American Gladiators. He said, "Mike, why don't we make a weekend of it?" Here, David Greenspun was chasing my dream for me. Cool. We always need someone in our corner to really support us in our goals, our vision, our dreams, because none of us can really go it alone. And we went up there, and, you know, there was a lot, a long story, but there was a lot that I did to ensure the very high likelihood I would be on the show by applying some of the principles that I teach now in sales and enterprise sales.
Wow.
Cool. So,
that's pretty
amazing.
And
did you get the shit beat out of you?
Well, it's interesting you say that, Jeffrey. And, you know, you told me you wouldn't bring up any sore subjects.
Got it.
But I don't get a ding?
Our fucking dinger is gone.
Right.
There we go. All right.
Jeffrey, just so you know, the dings go to those who are worthy.
Bingo. Okay. Or I should say dingo.
So.
See?
I did want to tell you when I am introduced on doing a keynote, the last part of the introduction says, if Michael looks a little familiar, maybe it's because you saw him in the nationally televised show, American Gladiators, but I noticed he didn't say how he did. Maybe he'll share that with us today. So I get up and I ask the audience, I said, how many of you are familiar with the TV show American Gladiators? And with this, everyone raises their hand. I said, look around, everyone. I said, before I tell you how I did, can I see by a second show of hands, how many of you are familiar with how I did on the show? I said, look around, nobody. I said, well, that's easy. In that case, I won the national championship.
Exactly.
But I have a question about American Gladiators. It wasn't it wasn't easy to get on the show, was it? Like, how many people were you competing against to even have a spot on the show?
10,000 tried out. 5,000 were in New York at the Coliseum.
Wow.
And they selected 2 out of 5,000 in New York. I was one of the 2. But I want you to know, none of it was luck. And do I have, I'd like to share just a couple of minutes for anyone who wants to be on a TV show, how to move, go from not even a slight chance to actual probability.
Yeah.
So this is a strategy I use in major account sales. It's called ACE and MAP. ACE is an acronym for analyze, strategize, and execute. And MAP is an acronym for massive attack plan. So if you look at when world wars are fought or Super Bowls or World Series, think about the level of analyzation they do of the opponent, of everything. They take it to such a deep level. They leave no stone unturned. They develop multiple strategies, and then they massively attack it. They practice, drill, rehearse until they know exactly what they're going to do. Peyton Manning was probably one of the best in football at doing this. Certainly not the best athlete, not the best quarterback, but no one would analyze, strategize, and then execute better than him.
If it wasn't for John Fox, he could have won another Super Bowl.
There you go. And if anyone knows football, we'll talk about Eagles later, I promise.
So I'm here today with Andrew Krasinski.
I'm fascinated with the social media and sales. You're kind of ahead of the curve with the success of your podcast and a lot of the things that you're doing on social media. So I'm just watching this just as an observer. I use LinkedIn a lot to find people names so I can call up or meet people and use my network. But just watching this, you have to be on social media.
You have no choice.
Right. I remember you came into a meeting that I was in and you were presenting and you said, I looked at everyone's social media, more than half the people here, profiles and presence is substandard.
Right. And, unacceptable.
Yeah. And my company that I was with at the time still didn't do anything about it.
Right. Not going to mention any names.
No, but you were crystal clear. I thought about that though.
Rhymes with Yadkin.
I thought about that though, and so I've since then, you know, try to do a much better job at it. But I also realize with social media, it's just you got to let the people determine what's good and what's not good, and they'll tell you by your viewership, they'll tell you by comments, likes. But I just think it's a cool thing.
You have the product, Andrew. You have the product. Everybody wants what you have. Money.
Yeah.
You have money. Like, you go into a customer and you say, you take those Sacagawea dollars that you have in bags in the vault that you can't give away, and you say to the front desk person, hi, my name's Andrew. This is a sample of our product. If you could bring it back to the boss, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Right.
We have tons of this at the bank. Yeah. And you'll get in. Or like, hi, I'm Andrew. Here's my brochure. That's the sound of a shredder.
That is the problem, though, right? It's a great situation to have, but that's the disconnect. Is the banker is looking at it, they're trying to sell so hard, and they're not. I look at banking and the people as you're basically a translator. It's all that dumb bank jargon, all the financials. You know, tax returns are done so you can avoid taxes in most cases.
And people go, well, you didn't earn enough money. Like, no, dude, I hit it.
I know, and I have to tell sometimes.
Well, I feel like, as a business person, I want to pay my rent to live in America. And I don't cheat on my tax return. I am frugal about it. I don't want to pay more taxes than I owe.
I don't blame
you. But I'm not going to hide anything because eventually it comes back to haunt you.
Right. So then if the relationship is good with communication, like I'll tell people that I know, and you'll have to do this for people's ego, but I know you're much wealthier than me. I know that you could buy me 10 times over. But way you did your taxes, we cannot give you money. Now, if we work with your CPA, we can tell you where it needs to be and we can help you out. But if you just like what you started off with, if you walk away and somebody just says decline and you walked off pissed off, well, no one wins in that situation.
It's much easier to say no, though, if you're a bank. You don't have to.
I think you're doing a real disservice if you just walk away with a no.
If you say yes, you're taking a risk. And most banks are risk averse.
That is true. See, you've dealt with banks.
Way too many times.
Right. And so you understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Right.
My first business bank loan in New Jersey, the payment was due on a Friday, but I couldn't pay till Monday. And I went to the bank, the vice president that gave me the loan, I said, listen, I really feel bad, but is it okay if I pay you Monday? And the guy says, are you kidding me? Get the hell out of here. He's fine.
Isn't that great,
yeah,
though?
Yeah, but I was nervous as a young entrepreneur.
But that's the way it was. I was at this bank here in Charlotte, and they talk about good old boy loans where one guy, and this is a story, true story. I know the banker, he's now retired. But one of the clients of his came in and said, I want to pay off the loan. And the teller was looking for it. She said, I can't find your loan or your paperwork or anything. And the guy her banker had gone fishing and he never gave him the paperwork. So he let the money out of the bank with no documentation filed at all. They didn't have any interest on the loan. But those, I mean, literally there used to be handshake loans were given.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And now, not so much.
There was a time when I first moved to Charlotte, maybe in my first 10 years here, First Union merged with Wachovia. Remember that merger?
Oh, yeah.
And there was about 5,000 people in the mergers. They hated each other.
Yeah.
And everyone was guarding their desk.
So I was in Wachovia after the merger, and they had this dumb thing that everyone said. I would never say it to their face, but they would say Legacy Blue or Legacy Green.
Oh, my God.
In the company. And still people to this day that have worked for one of those banks will say I'm legacy.
I called my banker at First Citizens. I said, William, everyone is guarding their desk at First Union in Wachovia. No one's guarding their customers.
That's the truth.
And you know what he said? Please don't tell them.
This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GittimerLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.